This is Kate from ConversationsWithKate.net, inviting you to improve your listening comprehension by listening to my conversations with guests from all over the world. I created this podcast for English language learners who want to feel comfortable in English conversations for business, travel, or pleasure. By listening to real conversations between me and a native or non-native English speaker, you will improve your understanding of different English accents, connected speech, and you'll learn interesting things about people, language, and travel along the way. My goal is to connect cultures through conversation. We'll improve understanding of our world and each other. Thank you for joining us. This is episode number 68, a continuation of my conversation with Tatiana Bilokhin, an English teacher from Ukraine. You'll hear Tatiana talk about traveling to the United States for the first time and how she went from hating English to embracing it as a way to express herself. Well, let's go back a little bit then. In your bio, you said that about 15 years ago, you received a special academic fellowship to travel to the USA. It was a JFDP fellow. Is that the Junior Faculty Development Program administered by the Fulbright program?
Yes, that's it. Yeah. I actually applied. I didn't even hope to win it. You know, I didn't even hope to go to the next tour. You know, like they have these competitions, like the first tour, the second tour. And I was amazed that they invited me for the interview. And eventually I won it. I didn't even have a passport. An international passport. So I did everything quickly at that time. And it was amazing. I mean, apart from that, I've been only to a couple of places, even in Ukraine. And it was the first time I traveled on a plane. Wow. And the first time I traveled abroad. And the first time I lived with someone other than my family and friends in a foreign country. And it blew my mind, you know, I can really say so. I was a little bit stressed at first, but I loved it so much that, yeah, I think it was one of the best experiences of my life. And I also realized that a lot of, not prejudices, but stereotypes, yeah, they were not actually right. And what people tend to criticize here about Americans, some people, not all people, that there were no grounds for those criticisms or all those comments. And some things that were in the United States that I observed there, they were so much better than what we had here, because some people, you know, claim that our system of education is so superior, so much better. But actually, I don't agree. I went there, experienced it firsthand. I was amazed by some teachers and their methods and how it works and what the outcomes of the education. So yeah, and the people, yeah, I met some people who became my friends, and I don't even have friends like that here, and some of them are still my friends, and I'm really happy that they are in my life. I can't imagine surviving there mentally and psychologically, you know, without their help. They had no reason to be so nice to me, but they were really nice. They were really helpful. They were really open-minded, and they were great.
Mm-hmm. What level was your English when you came over?
So I was probably C1, C2 level. I mean, I was teaching English at my university. So I came there with quite a good level of English, and some Americans complimented me on my English, saying that basically no accent, etc., etc., which I was before that I had really been nervous about. So the language itself was not a problem for me. I would make some mistakes, embarrassing mistakes. Like in America, I would say, you can't do that. And people would laugh at me and they wouldn't understand why they were laughing at me. And then they said that Americans prefer to say, yeah, you can't do that. You know, like these peculiarities that you learn only when you start doing these things. because theoretically you sort of know them, but not in practice. And there were other fellows who came with me who had a little bit lower level of English. They had a little bit more trouble and they had to take classes, English classes. As for me, I was taking classes that I felt interested in. I didn't have to take English, so I took some literature classes. I was interested in women's literature, so I took several of those. And I also took a Spanish class, so I learned a little bit of Spanish. I even tried to practice it at classes, but unfortunately, I forgot it already, but it's a different topic, yeah. The experiences I got at the university are great. I loved everything about it, about the campus, about the professors, about how the process is organized. It was very different from what we have here, and I still think that it's one of the best things about the United States is the system of education.
So for you, it was more cultural immersion than English immersion because you already had this good command of the language. What part of the U.S. were you in, if you don't mind me asking?
No, I don't. I was sent to California. I didn't choose where I would want to be. They assigned us to specific places. And I was in Long Beach, CSULB. It's a great place. I loved being there. I mean, just even the nature itself, the ocean, the campus, everything was gorgeous, amazing, and beautiful. And I loved the experience of being there. But yeah, the language was not a problem. I mean, sometimes I wouldn't understand something, mostly, by the way, mostly cultural things. And sometimes I wouldn't know how to say exactly what I wanted to say. But I never felt shy about using my language, you know. Sometimes I wouldn't know what to say instead of not knowing how to say it, you know, because I wasn't sure what is appropriate, what is not appropriate. So this was usually my problem.
As part of the program, did they give you any cultural education as far as norms, what you might expect in the U.S. or even in California, which is almost like a separate country sometimes?
When we came to the United States, they gathered us all together in Minneapolis for a week and they gave us an orientation, which was what you are talking about. So some cultural things, some organizational things like administrative, etc. So yeah, we knew what we are sort of supposed to be and supposed to do and not supposed to do. But there are some small things you couldn't not even imagine that you need to discuss, you know, like, I don't know.
Because regions are different, because people are different, there's no way you can cover everything.
Yeah.
Okay, well, anything else you want to share about that experience and how that changed you?
There is so much about it. For example, for me, it was everything was great except for transport, you know, because here in Ukraine, in my city, which is not a very big city, you can go everywhere just using public transport. And in Los Angeles, in Long Beach even, it's very problematic unless you have a car. And I didn't have a car. I couldn't drive at the time. So I had a bicycle, which I was afraid to use because the cars were all around me. And yeah, it was a little bit difficult, challenging. So, but there were so many other things which I loved that I stopped noticing those irritating moments, you know, just stopped paying attention to them.
Okay, thanks for sharing about that. Let's talk a little bit about you as a teacher. Your niche is helping intermediate learners of English sound more natural and feel more confident when expressing themselves. That's really my focus as well. I like that you focus on noticing and activating vocabulary chunks and collocations. Is that what helped you feel confident in speaking in English? And do you have any favorite examples?
I can't really say that it's exactly what helped me to feel confident when I was learning English myself, because at that time, nobody pointed it out for me. My process was actually sort of not strange, but it was probably usual, but it was challenging. You know, at school, for 2 or 3 years after starting to learn English, I felt totally confused by it. I couldn't figure it out. For me, everything, all those tenses, they seemed the same. And the teacher would get frustrated and start shouting at us, or, you know, like, be very upset about us. And I would, like, sit and think, oh, my God, when will this end? I hate this English, you know? Yeah, really. It really happened. I couldn't figure it out. And then at one point, there was this topic that we studied, the topic of traveling. And I don't know why. I just made up a story and translated it into English. And I told that story in English in front of the class. And my story was totally different. It was totally made up about an imaginary flight that I've never taken in my life. And I remember I was translating it, and it was the first time when I actually used the dictionary, you know, for my personal gain, for my personal, you know, like, interest, self-expression, not just because it was the homework, because I wanted to say something, and I used the dictionary, and I checked all those words that I had in my, you know, like, mental picture. And it was such a liberating experience. The teacher, first of all, she was stunned. You know, it was probably the first time anybody did anything like that in her class. And her praise was probably what made me keep going. I remember also the audience, the class, first of all, were surprised. And secondly, they didn't understand many things that I was talking about because, of course, they didn't know all those words. And also, they were probably as surprised as me that people can do that, that English is not just a subject, that it's a means of communicating your own ideas.
Yes.
And since then, English became a part of my life. I started to read about it. I started to try to find books in it. And I started to try to figure it out. And I eventually did. I think, I mean, everything is relative. But yeah, I think it gave the beginning of my interest and love of English.
That's a beautiful story. I think that creativity and using language to communicate is what it's about. So you like to do that personally. Are those activities now part of your English lessons?
Reading and journaling and making up stories. To some extent, yes. I try to implement journaling in my coaching and my teaching, and it works quite well for some students. But it's also part of my life and my experience. That's what I do, and that's what helps me discover the world and experience myself and the world and make sense of it.
This has been a fascinating conversation. I've enjoyed it so much, Tatiana. Thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You've been listening to the second half of my conversation with Tatiana Bilokhin. To learn more about Tatiana, find her on Facebook, Instagram, and at TatianaBilokhin.com. My clients tell me that they get so much more out of listening when they use my lesson guides and transcripts. These are available when you become a subscriber to my monthly email updates at conversationswithkate.net. I would love to hear if the podcast is helping you. You can send me a note through the contact page on my website or Conversations with Kate on Facebook or Instagram. If you like the podcast, please consider leaving a review wherever you access the episodes. Thanks to Aaron Burdett for our music. This is Kate. Remember that every day is a gift. I'm honored that you spent some of your precious time with me. Thank you for listening. Until next time.